Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 31. God's own future shepherding of his people. God's people in Scripture have consistently been likened to a flock of sheep. Psalm 95:7 in the Old Testament, John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29 in the New Testament. Accordingly, the spiritual leaders he has set up over his people are consistently likened to shepherds. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 and 2 speaks of these Old Testament shepherds, and 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2 talks to the elders of the churches and refers to them as shepherds of the flock of God. As such, God's human shepherds of his people are accountable to the Lord. In fact, 1 Peter 5, 4 talks about how we will give an account to the chief shepherd. It's kind of solemn. I recognize as a pastor, I'm going to give an account to Jesus Christ for my pastoral ministry. It's kind of overwhelming. However, the human shepherds God set over his people greatly failed in their work. So after God condemned them in Ezekiel chapter 34, 1 to 10, he told of his own future shepherding of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 34, 11 to 31. So we view this passage for our insight and our application. I'm going to read the passage first, and then we will look at Ezekiel chapter 34, 11 through 31. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, will strengthen that which was ill. I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment or justice. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between the rams and the goats. Does it seem a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures? And have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat sheep and between the lean sheep. Because you have thrust with the side and with the shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them in the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in its season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield a fruit. The earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land. And shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the Gentiles. Neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, or actually plantations of renown. And they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the Gentiles any more. Thus they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them. And that day even the house of Israel are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men. And I am your God, saith the Lord God, or saith Yahweh Elohim. All right. Unlike the false shepherds, God will care for his flock. Verses 11 to 16. where Israel's false, sinful shepherds had caused the flock of God to become wayward from the Lord, so that they ended up being scattered among the Gentiles in captivity. God will seek out his people from where they have been scattered and bring them back to their own promised land. Now that automatically implies that he's bringing them back, and he's also going to be working in their hearts so that they're not sinful and have to be scattered. Back in the land of Israel, God will feed, tend, search, bring back, strengthen, and shepherd his flock with justice, in contrast to the selfish injustice administered by former false shepherds. This is something that is so refreshing about God. He's very innately just and fair. It's hard to find even judges today that are that way, unfortunately, because they're going by precedents, and many times there have been wrong precedents, and they're afraid to buck the precedents. But God is completely objective, and he's very fair. This prophecy was not fulfilled when Israel returned to her land after the Babylonian captivity, because Mark chapter 6, verse 34 in the King James Version reports that Jesus viewed Israel's people in his earthly ministry with compassion because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. That wouldn't have happened if God was shepherding them. So accordingly, the fulfillment of this prophecy in Ezekiel will occur in the yet future messianic kingdom, the millennium that is predicted in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. This is another one of those passages that indicate that you have to have a millennium that is future, because these things have not yet happened. Well, unlike the false shepherds, God will judge between his sheep. Just like their false shepherds, sinful people in Israel had treated the vulnerable among them abusively for their own personal gain. They were like ungodly goats that afflicted the rest of the sheep. In Jesus' day, these are the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, the three types of shepherds, were very abusive towards the people. And Jesus critiqued them openly about it. In fact, it was predicted in Zechariah chapter 11 that Christ would loathe the three shepherds of Israel, the priests, the religious leaders, the elders, that they would loathe him, and there would be a conflict between them. It was actually predicted about the life of Christ in Zechariah chapter 11. Anyway, accordingly, God, as Israel's future shepherd, will judge between the sheep. This is a new thought, verse 17. God's people in Israel were likened to bad sheep that had trampled the pasture lands and muddied the streams to other sheep who were left with hardships, butting the weak and thrusting them aside from rich pastures so that the abused became lean and their abusers fat sheep. In one of the places, Jesus talks about how the Pharisees had put great burdens upon people that were too great to bear. And he complained about that, and how they took advantage of widows. Widows were supposed to be protected, but since the widows didn't have any protection, the Pharisees especially loved to go after the widows and trumped up these false charges against them so that they could grab their land holdings and take the property that had been given to them by their husbands. So it was really tough even in Jesus' day, but this is a problem that has been a problem in Israel's people down through history. So God would judge between good and bad sheep, saving the vulnerable from their abusers. God's judging between the good and the evil people in Israel was also predicted by the Lord Jesus in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. And this is going to occur at his second coming in preparation for his messianic kingdom. Let me just look at that. It's very interesting. Matthew chapter 25. There we go. Beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, that's the second coming of Christ, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He shall shut the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And so forth. And the whole passage goes along about that judgment. So that's coming in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he returns. Well, the Lord promised to set up his servant David to shepherd the people of Israel in Ezekiel 34, 23 to 24. Now, this is an interesting reference to David. Bible scholars differ as to whether this David is the resurrected King David of the Old Testament, or whether God is using the name David figuratively to refer to the ultimate son of David, the Lord Jesus. Well, since passages elsewhere predict the resurrected literal King David will be a prince of the restored people, it does that in Jeremiah 39, Ezekiel 37, 24 and 25, Hosea 3, 5, and this prince will offer sin offerings for himself during the millennium that would not be appropriate for the sinless Christ. He's offering these sacrifices, Ezekiel 45, 22 and 46, 4, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says that Christ knew no sin. So this David is the actual resurrected King David of the Old Testament. Of course, now David in the resurrected state will not be with sin. He will be without sin because he'll be in a glorified body. But apparently he will offer these sacrifices for himself. Many scholars believe that the sacrifices that are offered in the Messianic kingdom, they're not efficacious as they were in the Old Testament. But they will be like our communion services today. They will look back, and it will be honor of the Lord in looking back, much like our communion services. We look back at Christ, remember Christ, remember the past. And that makes perfect sense because the Levitical priesthood and its work, and the Levites will still be operating the sacrificial system, but apparently the sacrificial system will be looking back at the cross of the Lord Jesus. Well, unlike the false shepherds, God would make a covenant of peace with his flock in Ezekiel 34, 25 to 31. God will make a covenant of peace with his people so that they will enjoy peace and prosperity, living in security opposite the oppression that Israel's people had suffered for so long in ages past. You know, if you look at the history of the Jewish people, man, have they suffered. Time and time again, during the Middle Ages, you know, the Inquisitions, and so forth. There have been persecutions because of Adolf Hitler. That's a classic situation. But the Jews have suffered a lot down through history. The day is going to come when, as a people, they're going to be protected by the Lord and no one's going to bother them anymore. They're going to be actually on the top. Their nation is going to be the head of the empire. It's going to be a worldwide empire under Israel. Israel will be the head nation. And all of the rest of the nations will be under that. The flock of God would no more suffer material shortages or reproach from surrounding Gentile nations, but they would acknowledge that the Lord was their God and that they were his people. So in his future messianic kingdom at his second coming, Jesus Christ will shepherd his truly saved people in Israel, caring for them opposite the sinful shepherds who had abused them for personal gain. He will judge between good and bad sheep, separating them and providing balm to the afflicted. He will make a covenant of peace for truly saved Israel, providing the nation safety, nurture, blessing, and protection. So God's flock will then realize that he is their Lord and Creator God, and that they are his people. Israel's a long way from that right now, but the day is going to come. She's going to recognize her Savior, the Lord Jesus, and her shepherd, and that she will be shepherded by her Lord. So the application is, may we believers view Jesus Christ as our good shepherd, that's what he's called in John 10:14, as our great shepherd of the sheep, that's what he's called in Hebrews 13:20, and as our chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5:4, looking to him for comprehensive oversight and care. It's amazing, our Lord is a comprehensive shepherd and he's a wonderful shepherd. In my own life, the Lord moved when we had the situation with Tropical Storm Isaias. I still have to work it. Remember the Spanish pronunciation of Isaiah, Isaias. When it came through, of course, we lost electricity and there were trees that were going down all over the place. And we lost electricity here at the church, so I couldn't, you know, work on sermons. So between getting water, because we didn't have a generator, and trying to get a fire so we could cook, I would use scratch paper and I would scribble down and do studying and so forth in case the electricity came on so I could get a computer. Well, the electricity at our house came on Friday. Electricity for the church, I think, came on Saturday. And it was a work day, and Dave Slate was here and family. Well, they couldn't get a hold of me because we have a telephone by way of cable. So the cable was out. We get, you know, optimum. So Gus Pumbar drove up and he says, I'm going to have a conference call here with Dave Slate. So they get two deacons. And they tried to encourage me to go ahead and have the ministry. And I said, well, my sermon, you know, I'm going to have to finesse it and get it out of the computer. I have it in the computer, but I don't have the adult Sunday school class. I just have it in the notes. And they said, well, the people really need to have the ministry. So, and I was shot at that point because I've been working, just trying to keep, you know, a livelihood going. But I said, okay, I'll do that. And I know in times past the Lord has used storms to drive me to see the importance of ministering the word. So I came down here Saturday, I rushed around, I got the things that I needed out, and then we had, Saturday afternoon, we had a family gathering because we'd been planning this for weeks. And we have a bunch of birthdays. So we had a bunch of birthdays to celebrate. I went over to my daughter's house and had it there. So I came back the next day, Sunday, and ministered. But through that whole thing, the Lord reiterated once again, tired or not, you got a job to do. Get it done. So I came away from that impressed with the Lord's very strong guidance again. And they say he's used storms going back to my first pastor, just 40, 45 years ago or so, to stay at it. So we have a wonderful shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And he's comprehensive. He covers everything. So what we need to do is follow him and trust him.